This is Razzie Berry, publisher of Naturopathic Doctor News and Review and Natural Path, and I'm here today with John Whalen, director and producer of the documentary film Stink, that explores the pervasiveness of toxic chemicals, namely fragrances, in products we and our children use every day. So thanks for being with us today, John.
Thanks for having me.
I'd like to say that the movie was excellent. It definitely did not stink, though the subject matter does, for sure. So first of all, I'd like our readers to know, I know you mentioned that you used to naively believe that if a product contained dangerous or toxic ingredients that could even cause cancer, that it would be a banned product. So I'd like for our readers to know, what was the catalyst for that change in thinking? What was the catalyst for making of the film Stink?
Well, basically, I bought a pair of pajamas for my daughter for Christmas, and they had a strange chemical smell. And I called the manufacturer, and they wouldn't tell me what the smell was. So that started me on this journey to try to find out why the ingredients in products that we use every day are such a secret.
Right. And I think a lot of consumers wrongly assume, as you did and we all do, that if something is on the shelf, that it's going to be safe. So as you exposed in your film, these chemicals are often not disclosed to the consumer. So how can the public protect themselves from something that is not disclosed to them?
Well, honestly, they can't. And that's the problem. You hit the nail on the head. It's you can't avoid something if it's not on a product label.
Right.
And unfortunately, the industry, instead of innovating, is spending its money and its resources so that consumers don't know what's in the products, and for purely selfish reasons, because they don't want awareness about a certain chemical in a product to dissuade a customer from buying the product.
Right. Like you say in your film, if some of those products were disclosed on the label, we probably wouldn't have purchased those pajamas. So
that's right.
We learn a lot about our environment from our sense of smell. It's kind of a primal instinct. And I know as a parent, and you probably do too, that our children often smell a toy or food before putting it in their mouth or playing with it. How have companies exploited our olfactory sense in their marketing?
Well, yeah, as you said, I mean, scent is really powerful, and these artificial scents often manipulate us.
Mm-hmm.
Take shampoo, for example.
Right.
When someone's at the store looking for a shampoo, the first thing they do is smell it. And the other thing they do is look to see how it lathers. So the fact that, you know, shampoo is supposed to clean your hair is kind of like third in line. But I think that manufacturers have picked up on the fact that because scent is so powerful, that artificial scents have become a condiment for every product category.
Yeah.
And companies really compete on the scent, but we don't really know anything about it.
Yeah, it's the lack of disclosure is really frightening. And we've been publishing in our journals, our medical journals, articles and case studies on endocrine disruptors for the past decade. And we learn in your film that the word fragrance can be used in lieu of disclosing as many as 100 different chemicals. Can you explain a little bit more about this loophole, the fragrance loophole?
Sure. So if you look on a product label and you see the word fragrance, it appears to be a singular ingredient, but it's not. That word fragrance is used instead of disclosing the actual ingredients, which could be 100 different ingredients. And so most people, when they see a product on the shelf, let's say it has a bottle of shampoo and it has a vanilla bean, and they smell it and it smells like vanilla. Well, a reasonable person would think there's actually vanilla in there.
Right.
But a concoction of chemicals are actually used to mimic something that we would actually recognize in nature.
Right.
And that may be fine, except for the fact that it's completely legal to create these artificial scents to mimic natural things and use chemicals that could cause cancer, been linked to birth defects or hormone disruption, and other things that are just plain disgusting. Just to give an example, there is something called castoreum, which is a fluid that comes from a sac next to a beaver's anus, and that smells like vanilla.
Oh.
And so your vanilla toothpaste may not have real vanilla; it could have castoreum in it, which may be safe. It's natural. And don't ask me how the people found out that the thing next to the beavers.
Yeah, we don't want to know
like
that.
Vanilla. That's a separate story. But the point is that, you know, if you had that information, you might feel differently about a product.
Right. Yeah, ignorance definitely is not bliss. I agree with you there. And, you know, I find it so frustrating when you go to a market or even someone's home. Like, I try to be as fragrance-free as possible, but someone will have a candle burning that'll say spring rain, and you wonder, do they really believe that that is what spring rain is supposed to smell like? Which brings me to my next question, is that as consumers and parents, we see and smell questionable qualities to products and their packaging all the time, sometimes even if there is a warning label. But why do consumers often disregard these hazardous chemicals, even just their instinct that it doesn't really smell natural, whether it is or is not in the label? Why do you think that we have this false sense of security?
Well, I mean, cognitive dissonance, for one thing, you know, the idea that we just assume it's on the shelf, but it's safe.
Yeah.
And because we hear that, like, everything is bad for you, that people kind of tune out.
Right.
But that's one explanation. But I just think that most people's perception is that somewhere, someone is testing all of these products, and that's not the case. And, you know, it's unfortunate that, as I mentioned before, the industry is spending a lot of money and resources so they don't have to disclose these ingredients. Mm-hmm. And the problem with that is because there's not greater disclosure, because companies don't have to disclose, sellers of products are making bad choices about what they put in products,
yeah,
which means that buyers are making bad choices about what they're buying for their families because they don't know what they don't know.
You know, it's interesting because, like, at our local natural grocery store, I think that ignorance is spread really far, because at the grocery store, you know, I have two small daughters as well. And so when you're a parent, whenever you go to the grocery store, you have to stop in the bathroom, right? We're constantly having to stop at the bathroom with our children. And I've come to really have a hard time with, there are really powerful air fresheners and chemical air fragrances in every public restroom we use. And you're in an environment where there is no windows, no ventilation, and going to the bathroom is a biological function that you can't really suppress. And so you're kind of forced to be there and breathe that. And sometimes I find in stores or even restaurants that wouldn't sell a toxic product, they're still using it in their facilities. And that's just an example of how pervasive this problem is.
Yeah, I mean, awareness is very low. I mean, they use artificial scents in hospitals and funeral homes, mm-hmm, and all sorts of places. And I think that if people understood about the loophole that allows companies to use virtually any chemical they want to create these artificial odors, it would be different.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're up against, it's hard to explain.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, like, people almost, it's almost hard to believe that the vanilla-scented product could be bad for you.
I know, it is. Well, so can you tell our readers a little bit about the extent of regulation on chemical fragrances? Is there any?
No. So basically, the industry regulates itself, and they're allowed to use any chemical to create a fragrance. And they'll tell you that they're regulated by the FDA, but the FDA doesn't even know what chemicals are in their specific products.
Mm-hmm.
I did a Freedom of Information Act request for a certain product, and I got a form letter back from the FDA, which said, you know, for your information, we're not allowed to ask a company we regulate for a list of ingredients.
Oh, my gosh.
Which, you have to kind of read that twice.
Right.
It's absurd. It really is. And I think that, you know, I don't think it can last much longer,
right?
Because once people know, they just see that, you know, not being transparent is just, there's no consumer benefit.
Right.
And the benefit to the industry is that in general, cheaper toxic chemicals are, you know, companies are going to cut corners if they can. And so if you're, you know, if you have a vanilla scented product, you're going to use the cheapest chemicals possible to create that vanilla-scented product. But if you have to disclose them, then you'll make better choices. And so, you know, the other thing is that I think that in America, we think that because a company's been around for 100 years, or they recognize the brand, or they've had commercials on television, or they have a celebrity, you know, who endorses the product, that means that the product is good.
Right.
Because we're looking at these products on a superficial level. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about really highly engineered products. And by disclosing what's in it, I think you level the playing field for companies that are using more healthful ingredients. Because that's what really what the large conventional companies are trying to avoid. They don't want to reformulate. Mm-hmm. Because reformulating costs money. And that's what they're trying to avoid.
Yeah, I was also frightened to learn that on top of maybe the 80,000 chemicals that are being used in commerce right now, that there are several secret chemicals. So even if we were aware of what those, trying to avoid chemicals, there are some chemicals that are secrets. And what can be done about that? Do you think that that is something that can change? Is that part of the loophole?
So the problem is systemic. I think that if you look at any product category, for the most part, companies can use any chemicals they want, okay? And, you know, there are 85,000 chemicals in commerce. And that's not to say that they're all bad. Most of the chemicals are fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that the industry, a lot of the high-volume chemicals are the ones that are in a lot of our products.
Right.
And, you know, it's almost hard to believe. So, like, let's say if you take, like, flame retardant chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and talk about how consumers are manipulated. Now, if a parent looks at a pair of pajamas and it says on the label that it's flame resistant, well, that's a good thing. I mean, no one wants their kids to catch fire.
Right.
Now, what the industry doesn't want you to know is, okay, is this material in the pajamas inherently flame resistant? Or are you using a flame retardant chemical, which we now know cause cancer?
Mm-hmm.
Now, they don't want you to have the answer to that question.
Right.
Of course, they don't want you to know the answer because they don't want to lose the sale. And again, it's positive camouflage. And it's the ironic thing is that the flame retardant and the fragrance are both positive camouflage because the perception of it and the reality are very different. And through disclosure, it would make it very clear what's going on.
Yeah. Children and teens are especially at risk. You know, their nervous system, their endocrine systems are still developing. What do you think parents need to know to, you know, strive to protect and even educate their children?
Unfortunately, in the U.S., I think in Europe, the conversation about endocrine-disrupting, hormone-disrupting chemicals is advanced, whereas here it's very obscure. And, you know, there's hundreds, thousands of different chemicals that they feel have these properties. And, you know, in our everyday products, again, there's really no laws for most product categories about using them. So it's hard to avoid it if it's not on the label.
Mm-hmm.
But even if it was on the label, I don't know if most consumers would associate that chemical or know it's even a hormone disruptor.
Right.
And so I think the issue is still in its infancy, but sort of a prerequisite to advancing the system in the United States is transparency, because our regulatory system is broken.
Yeah.
But the broken system is working for the conventional industry.
Right. In naturopathic medicine, John, we have this tenet called first do no harm. And that brings me to want to ask you about the precautionary principle with regards to the chemical industry. I learned in your film that it's kind of the way they do things in Europe. Can you explain the precautionary principle to our readers and how it affects the end consumer?
Sure. So the big philosophical difference between how products and chemicals are regulated in Europe versus the United States. In Europe, chemicals are guilty until proven innocent.
Mm-hmm.
And the precautionary principle says if we suspect something may be harmful, well, then let's not use it.
Right.
So it's just a fancy way of saying common sense. In the United States, it's the exact opposite. Chemicals are innocent until proven guilty, yet it's virtually impossible to prove guilt. And, you know, what's happened is if you take even asbestos, now asbestos has a signature disease. The only way you can get mesothelioma is from asbestos exposure.
Right.
But we weren't even able to ban that. So if you can't ban asbestos, you basically can't ban anything.
What would you say is the biggest takeaway for you as the filmmaker? What's the biggest lesson that you can share with us about this journey?
Well, I would say the good news and the bad news. The bad news is that the issue is systemic. You know, our system is broken. And, you know, to take that up a notch, our political environment itself is so toxic. And, you know, this issue with the broken chemical system is kind of a microcosm of the larger issue, meaning that as long as we have unchecked money in politics, the right amount of money can keep the wrong system in place.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's basically what's happened. But I think the good news is that consumers are demanding transparency. I think the internet is driving transparency. People just expect transparency. And there are tons of companies that are starting to see that as an opportunity to create the next version of any product by disclosing ingredients and using better chemistry. And so I'm very optimistic about this sort of renaissance in American manufacturing, rethinking the way these decades-old formulas and coming up with better, greener, more sustainable chemistry. And I think that'll be great for America, for creating jobs, and that's sort of the positive thing going on here. And I think the companies that are resistant to change and not being transparent and not recreating better products, they're in trouble because it's I think people have had it.
Right. Well, this is just invaluable information. I think every doctor, every parent, every consumer really needs to see this film. Another tenet we have in naturopathic medicine is prevention is the best cure. And so I thank you again for being with us today. How can people view this film? When will it be available?
So Think is opening theatrically in New York on Black Friday, November 27th.
Okay.
And then it's opening in Los Angeles on December 4th. And then after that, we're going to plan, there are about 30 cities that we're going to have some sort of Stink event.
Great.
So if you go to our website, stinkmovie.com, we'll have all that information.
Fantastic. I'm bringing some friends to see it at the Scottsdale Film Festival. So,
great.
So I'll get to see it again and share it with some friends. So thanks again, John. I appreciate it so much. Do you have another project in the works?
I think this is, I'm going to make sure this is finished properly.
Right.
So I think it's an ongoing thing. And, I just think the timing is really good because people are starting to wake up and started connecting the dots of what's going on with different chronic health conditions in America and chemical exposure. So I think it's a good time to sort of get the word out.